I want you to thank Christ, and particularly thank Christ when conditions require you to be still. And I don't mean just shut up, but when you just have to sit still, you just have to be there at home. Thank Christ for that. We're to thank him for all things, aren't we? But this takes a little extra effort, I think. Zechariah 2:13, he says, "Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, before Jehovah God, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. He is raised up out of the habitation of his holiness." Raised up. John Gill says, "Be filled with fear, awe, and astonishment at the wonderful work of God, the destruction of Antichrist, the conversion of the Jews, and the calling of the Gentiles. Let them not open their mouths or dare to say one word against it." Time to be quiet. Here's the thing. God has given you a time to be still. Do not spoil those quiet hours by wishing them away, waiting impatiently to be active again. Some of the greatest works in Christ's church came from sick beds and prison cells. I have a simulated copy of the original Pilgrim's Progress, wonderful big old book, and written in the prison cell, imprisoned for his faith. Here's the thing, you say, but there's so much work to be done. There's so much that needs to be done for the Lord. I can't just sit here. Okay, do not overestimate your importance in the work. Christianity will not fall apart because illness confined you to quietness. This may be God getting you set. Think of the terms quietness and trust. These things enhance your awareness of Christ's presence with you. There's a reason we don't hear much, and that's because we're not quiet. Let us be quiet and listen. Psalm 131, 1 to 3. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself, walk in great matters, or in things too high, too wonderful for me. Is that what we're doing? We're so proud, we say, I walk among the prophecies. I dangle my feet in the clouds of mysteries, you know. Here's what he says. I'm not proud, I'm not haughty. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself. Literally, I've behaved and quieted my soul as a child that is weaned of his mother. There's a time when the baby just screams to be fed, you know, screams and screams. After it has been weaned, it's old enough to maybe ask for food or give a sign for food or come up and find some food and eat it himself. Not screaming anymore, not demanding attention, like a child weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth, that is from now and forever. And so hope in the Lord. Don't take yourself too seriously that everything's going to fall apart if you can't do something. So instead of resenting the limitations of a weakened body, search for Christ's way in the midst of these very circumstances. What a wonderful time I have each week calling Catherine Coy. she's still coming to grips with being in her 90s and a life that's so different from everything she's ever had in his home, you know. But she was teaching the Bible study today. 8 people came. That's the highest amount that they've ever had. They've had that before, but and then some of the staff came. They had been hearing from outside, and they brought in somebody that couldn't or wouldn't have come on their own. And then when the lesson itself was over and they were just talking, this one left and the staff left with him. But, you know, there was a time when my father-in-law, we had to take him to the, what was that?
It's a senior care facility.
Senior care. And it was hospice. They had no cure for his degenerative heart valve. And he resented it, see. But I was spending some time talking to him about these things and saying that there are people here that need his attention, that God put him there as a missionary. And we did notice an interesting change in that. He began making friends. And he had a pretty good time, don't you think, Cheryl?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He enjoyed it. They had people come in to sing and all these different things. He was just a different person. Well, the thing is, he was a man of action. He was a trucker. He was a man who ran truckers, did a lot of stuff at house. He was always the fix-it guy. But when God puts the restrictions on you, don't resent that. Limitations can be liberating when your strongest desire is living close to Christ. Catherine Coy said, she said, this is a different way of living, but it has its own particular joys. So, do not despise these simple ways of serving Christ. The simple ways. This is the thing that's not gathering thousands to hear your preaching. This is talking to some neighbor, you see. Although you feel cut off from the activity of the world, your quiet trust makes a powerful statement in spiritual realms. Find your strength in quietness and in confidence. Quietness and confidence. Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, Jehovah, Adonai Jehovah, the Master Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Not boisterousness and activity, but quietness and confidence will be your strength. And ye would not, he says. I was offering this to you, but you wouldn't give it. Albert Barnes says concerning this, for thus saith the Lord God, the design of this verse is to give a reason for the destruction that would come upon them. The reason was that God had indicated to them the path of truth and safety, but they chose not to follow it, refused to put confidence in him. Have you been set aside because you didn't actually take opportunities God gave you? In returning, he says, in returning to God, that is, if you are converted to him. Returning is like repenting, is like being converted. And rest, that is, by calmly reposing on God for assistance and not seeking the alliance of Egypt, not seeking the strength of the flesh. Then he says, in quietness, in a collected, quiet state of mind, in confidence, by putting, I like this, simple trust in God. And this shall be your strength. You shall be safe Your enemies shall not be able to overcome and subdue you. Not because you're so powerful, but because your God is so powerful. Let me give you this last verse. 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said unto me, the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul then says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Christ said to him, my strength is made perfect, basically, in your weakness. He says, well, then I'm going to glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Again, Albert Barnes says, it is one of the instances in which the fervent prayer of a good man offered undoubtedly in faith was not answered in the form in which he desired. He asked for that thorn in the flesh to be removed, and he asked it three times, though substantially answered in the assurance of grace sufficient to support him. I won't do that, but I will give you grace sufficient. Barnes says, it furnishes, therefore, a very instructive lesson in regard to prayer, and shows us that we are not to expect, as a matter of course, that all our prayers will be literally answered, and that we should not be disappointed or disheartened if they are not. And he ends by saying, it is a matter of fact that not all the prayers, even of the pious and of those who pray having faith in God as a hearer of prayer, are literally answered. This is why we need to pray not dictating to God as though he's some genie we wished up out of a lamp. We're setting a problem before him and asking him to take care of it. Normally we ask for the sick person to be healed, but perhaps there's a better way, you see. So Christ's strength and power show themselves most effective in your weakness. Are you willing to be that weak person?